I want to focus your attention for the message this morning in verse number 25 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. The Bible said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." The Holy Ghost was upon this man, Simeon. We're told in verse 25 that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. I want to try to take this text and the story of this man that we read about in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and preach a message on "It was worth the wait." I want you to think about that theme with me for just a little bit. It was well worth the wait. It was worth the wait. It appears that no one in this generation that we live in today has the ability to assess the worth of anything that is of real value. Amen. It appears that we cannot seem to grasp the valuable things in this life and the valuable things that mean something to God and what is precious to Him. As the man of God was preaching the other night, as he referred to Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 19 or verse number 18, he commissioned us and tried to exhort us as we live in this Laodicean church age to buy gold tried in the fire. And as I began to hear the man of God preach and meditate upon verse number 18, here's what he said. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold in that's been tried in the fire." And the gold, the things that are precious in this life, they can only come from God. Amen. The gold that the Lord was referring to in the book of Revelation was gold. It was something precious that he had that he would make available to the people of God. But it costs something, amen. If you're going to buy gold of him, it costs something. There's a communion involved. You're going to have to communicate with God if you're going to make that transaction. Amen. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Amen. But in a place of secret, amen, communion with God. That transaction, if you're going to purchase gold that's been tried in the fire that comes from the Lord, then it's going to cost you something, and it's going to be found in communion with the Lord. The Laodicean church had invested much of their time and their treasure on things that were worthless. It meant nothing. In their eyes, they felt like they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But God said, "You're poor, you're blind, and you're wretched." He said, "You put your time and your treasure and all your efforts in things that mean nothing, things that have no worth to it." And I'm telling you, all that they had acquired meant nothing in the sight of God. I don't waste my life like that. Amen. I trust that this church has a desire to hold on to some precious things. Amen. To know that there's some things that God has for us, things that are worth waiting for. The Bible said in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Amen. I tell you, if there's something that I need God to help me with in my life, it is this thing called waiting. This thing called waiting on God. And I realize today that God's not standing still. God is on the move. But a lot of times I find myself so scheduled in my mind and so regimented in things that I want to get done and the time frame that they need to be done in. If I'm not careful, as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad, I can get ahead of God. And I don't want to do that today. I want to be careful to slow down for just a little bit and wait on the Lord. Many times I lay in the bed at night and toss to and fro because there's just things racing through my mind, things that need to be done, things that must be attended to, and I find myself tossing and turning at night, amen, wondering and consuming myself with, when is it going to be done? How am I going to make it happen? And all of those things, would to God that the Lord would help me today as a man of
of God to understand, amen, that God has a time frame. God is still in control today. And if we could learn to wait upon the Lord, our strength could be renewed. We could mount up and soar as eagles soar in the sky. We could run and not have to worry about finding ourselves on the sidelines because of weariness. We could walk, amen, and endure to the end and not faint. Amen. Andrew Murray said this. He said, be assured that if God waits longer than you could wish, it is only to make the blessing doubly precious. God waited for 4,000 years till the fullness of time ere he sent his son. Our times are in his hands. He will avenge his elect speedily. He will make haste for our help and not delay 1 hour too long. God has never been late for anything. He's always been on time. But a lot of times we find ourselves, amen, pushing and shoving and worrying and wondering what's going on, not realizing that God knows our heart, God knows our desires, God knows the direction that we want to go in. And if we will be patient and wait, God, amen, will avenge his, amen, his people. God will give us direction and light to walk in. It is said of a New England preacher by the name of Phillips Brooks. He was a man that was unshaken in many ways, a man of poise and firm stand. But those that knew this man well said that oftentimes he was faced with moments of frustration and was very irritable. One day a friend saw him pacing the floor like a caged lion, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the friend finally asked Dr. Brooks, he said to him, what is the trouble, sir? What is so worrisome to you? And he said, the trouble is that I, sir, am in a hurry and God is not. Amen. We must be careful as we look and wait for the things of God to be perfected in our lives, that we are patient in waiting in that period of time for God to move. Here in our text, we find a man by the name of Simeon. A man by the name of Simeon that waited for the consolation of Israel. Now I want to talk to you about this man, Simeon, and his life for just a moment. And I want us to consider, amen, what are we waiting for? What are you waiting for in your life, sir? Young man, young lady, mom, dad, what exactly are you doing here? What are you waiting around for? Do you anticipate anything? Do you have a life of expectation? Are you looking for God to do anything? Are you just trying to exist and make things the best you can until whatever happens, when it happens, and how it comes about? Are we interested in all in anticipating for God to move, for God to work? May I remind you that there's a very dark period prior to Jesus coming, amen, to this earth through Bethlehem's manger. I mean, there's 400 silent years. There are things that we're introduced to when we step into the book of Matthew that we've never seen before. We are introduced to groups of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You don't know who those people are in the Old Testament. We're introduced, amen, to men that have found themselves in high position among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we know them through historians as the Sanhedrin court. And we find ourselves introduced to men like Nicodemus, men that were high in ranking in those places. Their synagogues, there was no synagogues in the Old Testament, but when we step into the New Testament, we see the Jews gathering in places, and in doing so, they are, amen, hearing the word of God and hearing the things of God expound unto them. But within that, there is a great magnitude of tradition and the writings of the Hebrews, are you listening to me, that had so infiltrated the Jewish religion that it had put them in bondage. The tradition of men had put them in bondage, and they had lost sight of the hope, amen, of the Messiah. They had lost sight of what God was truly going to do in his time when the fullness of time would come.
But here's a man, 400 silent years. Some of you get nervous if we have one service that seems to be dead. What's wrong? Huh? I wonder who come in the house of God with sin in their life this service. Wonder who is not praying. What's wrong with the preacher? Is anybody listening? We think, amen, we have our mindset that, you know, when God meets with us, we should thank God. And then Brother Jones said he never experienced any more liberty to preach in his life than he did on Friday night when we left out of here. Brother Josh Jones had a message on my phone. He said, I thought the days of martyrdom, amen, were done. Y'all about preached my daddy to death tonight. Amen. Are you listening to me? God meets with us and God gives liberty. And when he does that, we should reverence that. We should thank God for it. Amen. We should treasure it as something precious because God is trying to work and move in our hearts and in our lives. But here's a man and there's been no word from God for 400 years. Take a thought process as to how old this country is. America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And all the things we experienced historically in this previous week of what God has done in the years this country and this nation has existed. In the short span of time from the day that this country was discovered and our forefathers planted their feet on this soil and God moved and blessed and worked. In comparison to this man, Brother Crabtree, who has waited far as his mind goes, there's been 400 years passed by with no word from God. No word from God, Carl, for 400 years. We don't know how old Simeon is. We know that Anna was very old. It's said in some writings that Simeon quite possibly was the father of Gamaliel, that was the teacher, the Jewish teacher that Paul sat at the feet of. But we don't know how old he is. Let's just take for granted that he is an older man. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt of being up in years, maybe 80, 90, 100 years old. I don't know. But he never remembers in his lifetime God moving on the nation of Israel. He never has seen with his eyes the power of revival and the touch of God on the people of God. The only place he's known anything about God is in his personal life. Because the Bible tells us here in these verses that the Holy Ghost revealed some things to him and the Holy Ghost was upon him. But I want you to consider that this morning as we look at the life of Simeon for a few minutes and consider it is worth waiting for. It is well worth the wait, amen, that Simeon, amen, had spent his life in expectation. I want you to notice something about this man. He is a man that would hold. He was a man that had a grip on something. He was a man that had his hands on something that was precious. He had his hold on a place. The Bible said in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I'm going to tell you, he had his hands wrapped around the place. He knew that it was the place that God had said, I'll put my name there. He said, it's the city of the great king. It is the holy place, Jerusalem. He hadn't heard from God. He hadn't seen anything of God in Jerusalem. It's nothing but the regiment religion of man. It's nothing but bondage. It's nothing, amen, but just affliction. They're under Roman rule. They've been through great atrocities in those 400 years of silence from Malachi to the book of Matthew. But here Simeon, this great man of God, amen, he had a hope, said, God, I know that this is where God is going to move. God has established this place. God has put his hand on this place. God has worked in this place. God will work here again. Amen. He held on to a place. What are you holding on to? Amen. Are you listening? We live in a day where men run. I was going to preach about Elimelech tonight on what he left behind. But I don't know what I'll preach tonight. But I'll tell you what, Elimelech, when he took Naomi and his sons and left, amen, left the land of plenty and the bread, the land of bread, he left a problem that he was a part of. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something that's very important for you to understand. Amen. There's a lot of trouble in Jerusalem right here. There's a lot of trouble in the nation of Israel. And this man by the name of Simeon realizes that this is where God said he was going to move. This is where God put me. This is what God has promised me. This is what God, amen, has put in my heart. And I will hold on to that promise. I will hold on to that place. Better listen to that. You listening to me? He held on to a peace. He is waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation means comfort. Israel was in great affliction. They were under Roman rule. They were under a great oppressive spirit. Are you listening to me? They were being persecuted. Hey, they were overwhelmed this morning. Are you listening? Amen. With all the affliction and trouble and problems that they were having to deal with. But I'm telling you, here's a man that was waiting for peace. Amen. He was waiting for the consolation. He was holding on to a peace that God had put in his heart through the Holy Spirit that he had experienced, amen, in his life. He was holding on to a peace. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that that's all I had, just something to hold on to. Amen. There have been times in my life that I have preached as a pastor, and I found myself in my preaching feel like that I'm spinning my wheels, that I'm wasting my time. I've dealt with situations on a personal level with people in this church through the years, and without question, I've sat down and troubled in my heart and spirit over the things that I've preached and what I've tried to tell them, and they can't seem to act upon it. They can't seem to receive the Word of God. They can't seem to follow the truth. And all I've had to hang on to is a promise. All I've had to hang on to is, no, God has put me in this place. Are you listening? All I had to hang on to was a peace that God had given me that passeth the understanding of man. And in that peace and in that promise that I held on to, amen, it wasn't long till somebody would get some help from God. It wasn't long till God would move in. It wasn't long till God would work. It wasn't long till God would stir our hearts. This man was a man that would hold on to some things. He was a man that would hold. Are you holding on to anything? Something getting out of your grasp? Something slipping out of your hand today? Or do you hold on to these things? A promise, a peace. Are you listening to me? Holding on to a place. This man would not only be a man that would hold, this man would be a man that would hear. Simeon, the word Simeon or the name Simeon means to hear or hearer. Here's a man that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in reality, outside of the Spirit of God touching his heart and unveiling to him that he would truly see this consolation, looking at the situation around him, would have had every right and reason, humanly speaking, to have let go and to run. But he had heard. He had heard. They had sat down in those synagogues. And even though there was much tradition, and even though there was much being said that had nothing to do with the Word of God, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin court and the scribes had added footnotes to the laws of God, had imposed those rules and regulations on their families. Even though all that was going on, there'd be a word from God read out of those manuscripts. And from that, he knew that there would be a scepter that would rise in Jerusalem. He knew that there was a promise of a Messiah. He knew that salvation had been promised, amen, to the nation of Israel, because he had heard it. You ever heard anything that caused you to live a life and have a spirit in your heart of expectation? Have you ever heard anything that would give you a spirit of thirst and desire for something to come? He was a man that would hear. He was a man that would hearken. That's what his name means. Hear or hearken, Simeon. And so this man was a man that not only heard the word of God, but this man was a man that would hearken to what he would hear. He's at the temple, and in this state that we find him in these verses, is a result of what God had worked in his heart concerning the word of God. He had heard it, and he would hearken to it. I don't think the word amazed, maybe appalled is a better word. I stand appalled when I see people that I know have heard the word of God, but cannot seem to hearken to the word of God. And a man that's going to wait for something that's worthwhile, he is going to have to be a man that's willing to hold on to something. He's going to have to be a man that's willing to hear about that something that he's holding on to and to hearken. Amen. There are some requirements and there are some stipulations if you're going to see the consolation of Israel, Simeon. You're going to have to understand that there's a promised Messiah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And he's going to be born King of the Jews. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful. And I'm telling you, as Simeon recounted those things in his mind that he had heard, he would hearken. And I don't know how often he would go to the synagogue or to the temple, but we find him here in this place at the temple. And in being there, I don't know how many days he got up and said, I wonder if this will be the day that the consolation of Israel will be revealed to me. But he went every day. I don't know how many days he had come. He had come and sat down and nothing would happen. Are you listening? He had come the next week and nothing would happen. He had come the next week and nothing would happen. He had come the week and the next week and the next week and the next week, and people would come and go, children in and out. Somebody would preach. Somebody would expound the scripture, and there was nothing there. No word from God. No sign. No touch. No spirit. But he had been put upon his heart by the Holy Ghost that he would see the consolation of Israel. And he would hearken, and he'd be in the house of God, anticipating God to do something. Amen. You study any revival of the past, any awakening of the past, it always is a result of somebody petitioning God and doing so with a great expectation. I'm going to tell you something weird. Faced with in this day, we're faced seemingly in this day with people who expect nothing and they look for nothing. And when you come to the church house expecting nothing and looking for nothing, it makes no difference how much God moves, and it makes no difference how real God may be. You will be sitting there as others testify, as others rejoice, as others worship God in truth and in spirit, and you will leave just like you came, because you came looking for nothing and you came and saw nothing. He would hear, he would hearken. He was a holy man. Simeon, the Bible tells us in these verses that he was a just man in verse 25 and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was a man that was holy. He was righteous. The Bible says he was just. He was responsible. The Bible says he was devout. Are you listening? He was a righteous man. He paid attention to the way he lived his life. He did not want to have anything in his life that would keep him from being able to see the salvation of God when it came. The peace that would bring, that would be brought to the nation of Israel, the consolation of Israel, the Son of God. He was very concerned about seeing that consolation. The Bible said he was a just man. And that fact just rings out in our mind, it should at least, amen, that we would not allow anything in our life, any sin in our life, any kind of ungodliness in our life that would keep us from having that spirit of expectation, having that spirit of desire to see something, coming to the house of God, wanting God to move, desiring God to move, to be hungry for God to move. Lord, let me see something. I'm telling you, are you listening? He was very, very responsible. He was devout and very careful to keep his life pure, to keep his mind clean, because he did not want to allow anything to keep him from seeing what he wanted to see. So, well, the Lord already told him that he would see it. I know that. But the Bible said, John said this, take heed to yourselves. Things that you have wrought in your life, don't be deceived. The things that you have wrought in your life can be thrown away in a moment of time. I could talk to you about preachers and churches and people that threw a life of ministry away for a 10-minute experience of pleasure. Men that have stood in this pulpit and preached. I'm talking about men that loved God and had a heart for God, that took a stand for Jesus for years. I'm talking about McKinley. I'm talking about for years. Men that served for years. And for just a 10-minute fling of pleasure and fun, threw it all away. I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to wait for it and it's going to be worth anything to you, amen, you're going to have to live holy. Amen. Say, well, preacher, everybody else is doing it. I don't care what everybody else in this church is doing. Amen. Are you listening to me? Everybody in this church may get them a television, and they may let their children watch filth and ungodliness on it. They may let them plug in country music, but amen, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me today? But I'm going to tell you what, that don't mean I have to, Chance. Young men may listen to all kind of garbage and filth on their radio and on their CD players. Amen. But every young man in here don't have to do that. Amen. Thank God I'm waiting for something to happen. Are you listening to me? And in time, God reveals sin. In time, God, amen, will open up the windows. Are you listening to me? And reveal men as to who they are. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to keep preaching and keep telling the truth and keep waiting for God and holding on to some things that I know God has put in my heart and life. Man, it was holy. He was righteous, he was just, he was responsible, he was devout. How responsible are you to your life? How responsible are you, devout? Amen. That word devout's not used among Baptists very much at all. More, it's more used about Catholics. How many times have you heard somebody say, they are devout Catholic? You ever heard anybody say that about Baptists? Oh, he's a devout Baptist. I never heard in my life anybody say that about a Baptist. No, always they're a devout Catholic. I don't understand why Baptists can't be devout. Be responsible to the things they believe and the things, amen, that are in the Word of God that are true. Man was holy. This man was righteous. He was a just man. He realized that there were some things that he desired to see. And 400 years had passed. And there had been no word from God. And because this man was waiting, waiting as a righteous man, waiting as a responsible man, waiting as a man that was holy. And he got to see the consolation of Israel before he died. Let me say lastly, he is a man of hope. He waited. He waited. There's very little of that going on in this day. Very few people are willing to sit still and wait on God. I've never seen people in this day and time so impulsive. Some people have a record of being impulsive. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When it comes to the will of God and serving the Lord and doing the will of God for your life, you better not be impulsive. Because it's a serious matter.
Amen.
I'm not doing anything, going anywhere, doing anything. Amen. And especially use the will of God as an excuse to do it. People are impulsive. This man was a man of hope. He waited. What are you waiting for today? Do you anticipate anything? I'm looking for something, Brother Keith. I got my eyes fixed on something to happen. I've seen God move. Has anybody noticed the last, year or so? Has anybody noticed how much problem we've had to deal with? Anybody noticed that we're building something back here? Every time, ain't that right? Every time. Anybody that's ever been here, Brother Joe, is that not the case? We put a building up here in town and your whole family turned upside down. I don't know if you remember that. I was up in the rafters when they come over there and all kind of problems. I was up in the rafters working on an old building. Man, I don't know if you remember or not. It wasn't over nothing, but it was just a problem. Every time. I tell you what we can do, Brother Hill. This church can pass out gospel tracts all over the world and they can put the tent up and preach the gospel.
Yes.
And we can go door to door and knock on doors and witness to people. We can have every kind of outreach ministry you can imagine. But I'm telling you, the first time we stand a 2x4 up in the air and drive a nail, people leave, people get in trouble, people get out of sorts with each other. They let sin in their life. I've never seen the devil fight as he does when we do something like that. And I don't know what the significance is outside the fact is it a testimony, amen, to the public, amen, that God is moving and God is working and God is still alive. Amen, the same thing that Noah probably had to deal with when he built the ark. But I'm telling you, that is a reality. I'm talking about when we built before, we stood at the graveside, wept, and our hearts was wrenched in two, right in the middle of the finishing touches of a building project. Are you listening? There's a man come through this ministry that was going to sue this ministry and try to do anything he possibly could to destroy me and destroy this ministry. And I was sitting right here on this platform when he walked in the back door for the first time to introduce himself to me when he came to this church and we were building this building. And I'm telling you what, buddy, people that's been here any length of time and knows anything about the battle, the spiritual warfare of this ministry. Most people that come here don't know much about the spiritual warfare of this ministry, but that's involved and engaged in the battles that we face as a church know for a fact that any time we've endeavored to do something in that regard, we've fought battles. Better listen to me now. But I tell you what, if it was going to be easy and there was no battles to fight, then it wouldn't be worth much to us. I'm going to tell you what, there's much trouble here in this text behind the scenes that you don't see. I mean, we're rejoicing with the angels and the shepherds, and we're thinking about the wise men that are coming with gifts and frankincense and myrrh. But I'm telling you what, when Jesus was born in the fullness of time, Israel was not consoled. Israel was in trouble. But here's a man of hope. He waited. He waited. He continued on. He stayed faithful. He waited. He walked. In verse 26, the Bible said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He's a man that walked. And he walked in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was upon him. And he walked by the Spirit into the temple. Prayed just a while ago with my wife, and we pray this nearly every time we pray, or at least I do. I say, Lord, as a union, let us enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And I never have prayed this before until just a little while ago. I prayed, Lord, help us to be responsible in doing that. Understand that I have and she has a responsibility to enter into the gates of God with praise and courts with thanksgiving in our heart. Are you listening? Walk in the Spirit. Did you come in the Spirit this morning? How'd you walk in today? Since I got right with God, Brother Crawford, I'm going to tell you something. When I wasn't even right with God, nobody ever come to my house when I wasn't even saved and asked me. I don't remember anybody coming to my house and asking me where I was at church. I never came to my daddy's house that I ever remember and asking us why we wasn't at church Sunday. Never. When I wasn't even right with God, I went to church on Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what. When I got right with God for the first time in all my life, I entered into the gates of God in a different spirit. I walked in with an expectation in my soul. I had an old Thompson Chain Bible that I gave BJ. It was his mama's. And my two sisters were living in an apartment right down the road from the house. And one night when we were at the hospital, when I guess Jamie was being born, that apartment caught on fire. And we rushed from the hospital to the apartment there as it was just engulfed in flames. And after it was all over with, there was a Thompson Chain Bible in there that was my sister's when she was right with God. She wasn't right with God when that burned down. But she, amen, at one time had served the Lord during that time, and he is right now serving God. And I got that Bible and asked her if I could have it. I just had got right with God, and I took that Bible and I laid it out on the backyard at my mom and daddy's house out there by the patio. And I'd turn the pages and I'd missed perfume in it and just turn the pages over and over again, let it sit out in the sun and just trying to get it, you know, so it didn't smell so smoky. And I took that cover and I'd polish it, and I'd let it out there every day. I'd set it out there and just turn the pages in the sunlight, and as the breeze would blow, you think this is crazy, don't you? But I'm telling you, it was. I mean, I had a Bible that had references down the side. I'd never seen one in my life in the spirit that I was in. I'd seen them all my life, but I had never looked up a reference in my life. I wasn't right with God like some of you. Brother Rick, all them notes down the side of that Bible you got, I seen them. I said, man, I may not look spiritual. Amen. I may not be spiritual. And I may not look like I know anything. But if I tote a Bible in the house of God with all them notes going down the side, they'll think I know something. And I laid that thing out there, buddy, and I'd fan it, and I'd squirt Paul Sebastian on it and Lysol and everything else, amen, trying to get it from stinking so bad. And I'd go to the house of God. And I was a grown man. I wasn't some silly kid. I was a grown man with a wife and a child. And I'd go to the house of God, and I'd open up that Bible, and I'd look at the man of God, and I was expecting something. All around me in that church, there was people with sin problems, people that wasn't in the will of God, lying people, cheating people, cussing people. Are you interested? Are you listening to me today? I'm telling you, right in the church that I was attending, I mean, a great church, a good church, but I had a heart for God to feed my soul, and I was trying to get as close as I could to it. And I went to the house of God for the first time in my life, walking in a different way. Amen. Verse 26, he's a man that walked. He is a man that watched. He said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 30 said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What are you looking for? What are you waiting to see? What are you waiting to see this morning? Amen. Why do you come to the house of God? Why are you here? What role are you playing in the history of the heritage that we have so been blessed with? What role are you playing in preserving that? What are you looking for? I'm telling you, a people that looked for something. He was a man that worshiped. I'm done. The Bible said that this man of hope, he waited, he walked with hope, he watched for hope, he worshiped. I don't believe this is the first time he worshiped God, but he took him up in his arms, the Bible said in verse 28, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Simeon blessed them. Verse 34. I'm going to tell you something. He worshiped. He didn't worship, amen. He didn't worship in a flippant manner. He beheld the Savior and he worshiped. When he worshiped, he blessed the sovereign God of heaven. You listening? He was a man of hope. What do you have hope for today? What are you young ladies and young men hoping for? What do you expect? Is anybody here this morning anticipating anything? Come to church with a spirit of anticipation, with a spirit of expecting God to move, to work, to do something special in your heart and in your life. Amen. Are we looking for God to do anything? Is there a spirit of expectation in your life? It was worth the wait. It was well worth the wait for Simeon. He stayed in the same place. He held to the same promise. He looked for the same peace. He made sure that he was responsible and righteous. He was devout and just. He was a man that did not want anything to infringe upon the promise that God had given him concerning experiencing the visible reality of the Son of God coming to this earth. He had hope. Well, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul said, looking unto Jesus. Paul said, there's a crown that awaits all those that look for him. I come to the house of God And I come to the house of God, I guess, just like you, I don't come necessarily every time I come expecting for the Lord to come and take the church home. I probably should. But I promise you this, when I come to the house of God, I do come expecting God to move. And I do come expecting God to reveal himself. And I sit on that pew or I sit in that chair with a fervency in my soul and a thirst in my heart and a desire in my being that God would move and work. And I don't want to be a part of anything that would hinder that from happening. What about you? There's people singing in these choirs. They ain't got no business in the choir. Because the things you allow yourself to listen to and the things you let your mind feast upon, and you just crawl up there and sing, knowing good and well that you're a hindrance. Knowing good and well that God is going to have to go over the top of the sin of your life to bless. And he does that because there's some up there that want to see God move. There's some that want to hear the Lord, hear the Lord's voice, looking for God to move in their life. What about you? Simeon was righteous and responsible. He was just and devout. You know why? It's because he had been promised some things. I've got some promises in this Bible that I can only experience, Brother Joe, if my testimony is kept in the way this Word of God teaches me to keep it. Brother Jim talked about being the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wrote in my Bible, can this be said of me? That my life would be consistent, that my life would be faithful, that my life would be steadfast, and I would wait. I would wait with anticipation. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Can you imagine what it must have been like for Simeon? Let's say he's 100 years old. He's not seen God do anything in 100 years of living. And besides that, his daddy and his granddaddy and his great-granddaddy never was able to tell him about what they seen God do. But yet he waited. And he was steadfast and faithful. And he was a man that had hope in his soul. What about you this morning? What did you come to the house of God for? Did you come with anticipation? If you come looking for God, you can find him in the house of God. You can find him in that first song that's been played while people are assembling. You can find him. You can find the Lord if you're an individual that's looking for God. In the midst of a cold, dark world, here's an old man and an old woman. They got to see something because they came looking for it.